I'm Mike McCurdy. The Bloomington Police Department is tracking about 200 Bloomington residents as part of two state-mandated offender registers. Bloomington Police Officer Sean Albert serves as the Bloomington Police Department's sex offender compliance officer, assigned to the neighborhood focus team. One of his duties is conducting sex offender compliance checks. He's also in charge of the two state-mandated registers. One registration is for those convicted of sex crimes. The other falls under the murderer and violent offenders against youth registration. GLT's John Norton talked with Officer Albert about the details of the registrations.
The purpose of the registration list is to, A, give information to law enforcement about where these individuals are, and B, also in the case of the sex offenders, provide information to the public as to where these individuals may be.
So is there a distinction between, say, the violent offender and the sex as to who can see the list?
There are differences in who can see the list and the fact that, take for example, the violent offender murder registration is out there for the public to see just as it is for the sex offender. But in the case where, say, a juvenile offender, for example, is adjudicated as a juvenile in juvenile court for these crimes, that list is not generally available to the public. It is available to law enforcement, and under certain other instances, we are mandated to provide it to individuals in the community, but is not published on the website for people at large to see.
If a 14 or 15-year-old is convicted as an adult for one of these crimes, are they automatically on the list?
If they are 14 or 15 years old and they take an adult conviction, they will be found on as an adult offender. Whenever you take an adult conviction versus a juvenile adjudication, you take the consequences of an adult conviction.
So it's the conviction itself, not the age.
Yes.
That's considered. What is the relation between a registration and restrictions on these people?
The restriction laws are separate from registration.
Okay.
The registration simply means they have to come and report the required items in the manner and time frame required of them. And the restrictions that most people think of, such as, say, a child sex offender entering upon a park property, residing next to a school, those are completely separate laws.
So you are required to register every so often for these lists?
Yes.
And what happens if you don't?
If you don't, you could face criminal consequences in both state or federal court in the case of a sex offender crime.
Off the top of your head, do you know what those consequences are?
All of them are felony crimes.
So that's serious. How often do you need to re-register?
At a minimum, once annually, based upon conviction. Some individuals, based upon their conviction, are required at a minimum every 90 days. And they must come in and update at other times as required. For example, if they were to update their employment, change where they were living, or some other reporting requirement had changed, they're required within 3 days of the change to come and report that as outlined under the Act.
What's the distinction of someone who has to register every 90 days compared to yearly?
People who register for 90 days typically have an aggravated crime as the conviction, and or they've received a conviction for violation of the sex offender registration in the past.
Okay, so if you're on the murderers and violent offenders against youth registration, you've been convicted of murder, not manslaughter?
Murder. You've been convicted of murder, and in the case where other crimes against children, typically like a heinous battery against a child or child abduction, you'll find those individuals.
Have you seen instances of people who are being charged with murder, with being charged with some serious crimes, that actually plead to lesser charges because they won't be on the registration list?
I don't keep track of the court documents, but I'm sure that does happen, and that might be a motivator to plead to a lesser crime.
Okay. I wanted to talk definitions. We've talked about murder. Who is considered a violent offender?
A violent offender is those individuals outlined by the Act who've committed a qualifying crime against a child. People who've an aggravated battery against a child. Someone who's, for example, also like a shaken baby death would be included in there. Unlawful restraint, kidnapping, abducting, luring of children would be those individuals that would find themselves in.
And this is against children only. Someone who would do this against an adult, would not be included?
They would not be included as a violent offender against children. Now, if they've murdered an adult, they would be on the murder portion of the registry. But the violent offenders against youth portion of it applies towards acts against children.
A sex offender, by definition, is a violent person. Can they be on both lists?
Technically, they commit crimes which would qualify them to be on both lists. Due to data entry constraints, and what happens is the law enforcement database can only enter them as one, in which case, if they've committed a sex crime, they will default to the sex offender list and their other acts will be listed as a portion of the registration, but they will be primarily listed as a sex offender.
Does that present any problems to not be on a number of lists if it qualifies?
It actually makes it easier. It makes it easier for the offender, makes it easier for us in law enforcement, because then the person's reporting only under one calendar, versus if he was having to register under multiple lists, he could be in there all the time at different dates, and it cuts the number of times down that we have to do the entries with the people. It also makes it clear that the offender has one date to show up versus multiple.
We're talking with Bloomington Police Officer Sean Albert. This is GLT Sound Ideas. I'm John Norton. We're talking about the different registration lists that he tracks, that he's in charge of for the Bloomington Police Department. Well, let's get to the number. 200, roughly, on average, are on the list. Is that a high number?
For a city our size, that's relatively high when you look at per capita for the size town we are around the state. We have a large number of sex offenders when, you know, roughly other towns. You may say Bloomington normal may be comparative to Springfield, but we're talking just Bloomington here. Okay.
So why is it high compared to other cities, the best you can tell?
From what I've gathered dealing with and working with the sex offenders in town, there are services here in town available to them that may not be available in other communities.
There's some good mental health services here?
Mental health services that accept them. There are some mental health programs around the state which will not accept them by default because they are sex offenders, whereas we have a local treatment provider who will. We have a sex offender treatment program which isn't available in all parts of the state, and many individuals who receive convictions from the court are required by the court to obtain treatment, which may bring somebody into the area. And we have jobs available for these individuals. We have a vast majority of the people registering me are working someplace.
How difficult is it to keep people registering and re-registering? What are the incentives that you use to make sure that they stay on track?
Well, my goal for them is I sit down with each one of these individuals, educate them on what they should and shouldn't do and how they need to get themselves registered. We make a registration available to our police department 24/7. Our typical business hours for registration is Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. at night. But if there is an emergency something comes up, we make there's a standing order and process by which these folks can always get registered. So they know that right off the bat, which makes it available to them to actually do this. We let people know there's no punishment for coming in early, because all the registration forms state that you are to register on or before a certain date. So if it didn't work out for their schedule and they couldn't be here on the 5th and they were due on the 5th, they could come in the 2nd or the 3rd or the 4th or any time before that date and get themselves registered. So we try to make ourselves available to them so that they have the ability to do it without any issues. I've tried to relay to them that this is something they're going to have to do. If they show up late and they go non-compliant and it's out on the website, somebody is going to call and complain. It's not if, it's just when. And if they don't do it for anybody else, if they do it for themselves. Because if they keep themselves compliant, it's better for them.
How long do you stay on the list? Forever?
You stay on the list based upon your conviction. Juvenile offenders have the ability to be petitioned to be removed from the list, provided that they serve a certain number of years and have no problems. The other individuals are based upon conviction. So if you have a conviction, it's all conviction-based. So if you have an aggravated conviction, it may require you to register for life. If you have a minor conviction, such as a misdemeanor, crim sex abuse, it's a 10-year registration, provided that you don't find yourself in any more trouble.
There's a distinction that I don't know if it has more to do with restrictions than the registration itself, but on the sex offender, a child sex offender, I'm guessing, has a higher recidivism rate than maybe a sex offender in general, or maybe even someone convicted of murder. Do you treat those differently?
What I do is I interview all these folks. Everybody's given a fair chance. I hope that they would take that chance and move on with their life. However, my job to be a policeman is to also look for indicators that there might be a problem. And when you think about the registration as a whole, if you're coming in and doing everything you're supposed to and reporting like you're supposed to, and there's not any complaints, there may or may not be a problem. The issue comes in like when people start lying about their behavior. That may be an indicator of a problem, because especially if you were lying about your behavior to the police in a criminal matter, that's the chance that they may be some recidivism in the criminal aspect, in some aspect, whether that be minor or major working their way up to a major crime. But since we've been more proactive in monitoring these folks, there's not a year gone by that we haven't found an individual with a new child victim.
How has this list or these lists helped Bloomington Police and especially you do your job better?
Well, as the list has become more available to the public because we're much more connected than we were in years past, it allows us to have not just the police department looking for the welfare of the community, but the community as a whole have that information at their fingertips and allows us to gather and gain information faster than we would have in times past, or if at all, in some instances. Because
I realize you're just following state law when you do something like this. One of the problems I could see with this list is someone who committed a crime decades ago and is maybe still on a list. Maybe they've rehabilitated themselves. Do you hear from that at all?
I have complaints from offenders who say, listen, I haven't done anything in so long. But, you know, in life, if we make poor decisions, sometimes we have a poor outcome.
Bloomington Police Officer Sean Albert is with us on GLT Sound Ideas. I'm John Norton. This is your baby within the Bloomington Police Department, right?
Yep. This is my full-time assignment.
Is this something you readily took on, something you sought out, something you were assigned and kind of grew into?
Years ago, I was the neighborhood office for the West Side, and what I started seeing is I was dealing with a lot of gang and drug problems, but in dealing with community problems, I noticed we had officers assigned to do active sex crimes, but we did not have officers at that time adequately assigned to follow up after the sex crime was convicted for the individuals who were back in the community. We have officers assigned to work gang and drug units, but no one was assigned to work sex crimes like this, though I was getting the complaints from the neighborhood associations. I was running into these problems in the neighborhood, so I started taking that on, and the chief at the time decided that it was working in the neighborhood, and we were having results, and it needed to be done. In addition to that, there are mandates that we should be going out and doing these things.
What are some of those results?
We've found child sex offenders committing new crimes in the neighborhood. Not calls from victims saying, please, please come help me, but things we've discovered through the course of doing checks or being active in the community and then having the community work with us, which we weren't doing in the past, but we've found individuals who are volunteering as youth sports officials. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have found people volunteering and working, doing daycare as a child sex offender. We found them with new victims when we've shown up for checks. We've found individuals committing other crimes in the community because, you know, just because somebody did a sex crime doesn't necessarily mean they're relegated to only committing one type of crime. And we've found people as working as volunteers in youth groups, you know, Boy Scouts, for example. Every year we've found victims, new sex crime victims, that weren't calling for help. We found them as the result of going out in the community and checking, and then those checks have resulted in new cases.
Bloomington Police Officer Sean Albert speaking with GLT's John Norton about the various registrations required of those convicted of a sex offense, as well as those convicted of murder or a violent offense against a youth. Offenders must also pay a $100 registration fee when re-registering annually. Albert says the fee is waived for those who are homeless or indigent. It's Sound Ideas on GLT.